Nigel Ogden here with a very special edition of The Organist Entertains, because 3 days ago the legendary Mr. Blackpool, Reginald Dixon, celebrated his 80th birthday. And in honour of that wonderful occasion, we pay tribute to the great man and his music. Both are still remembered with great affection by thousands of people who've spent many happy hours in the Tower Ballroom. And never was there a more appropriate signature tune than the one we're listening to now, which summed up the feelings of both organist and audience. I do like to be beside the seaside. Reginald Dixon at the organ of the Tower Ballroom, Blackpool. And I wouldn't like to guess how many times that magical phrase has been spoken on radio, but it was for an incredible 40 years that Reg was in charge of probably the world's most famous Wurlitzer. A far cry from those early days in his hometown of Sheffield, when Mr. Dixon Sr. was out of work because of the Depression, and by the age of 13, Reg was giving piano lessons to supplement the family income. A few pennies from heaven would have been very welcome in those days. Reg's first cinema jobs were at the Stocksbridge and Healy Palaces just outside Sheffield, and at the Picture House Chesterfield, playing both piano and organ. The organs in these early cinemas were really church-type instruments, so his first experience on a Wurlitzer was at the Regent Sheffield, and his many practice sessions there resulted in Reg being offered the post of orchestral organist at the West End Cinema Birmingham at the age of 23. Following his time in Birmingham, he spent several months at both the Regent Dudley and the New Victoria Preston before going over to Blackpool to audition for the Tower job. And by all accounts, there was no one more surprised than Reg that he got it. But determined to succeed, he put everything he'd got into developing a style of playing, which, as well as being suitable for dancing, was easy on the ear to those who just wanted to sit and listen. His popularity increased so rapidly that on the 4th of June 1930 he made his first appearance on the air, the start of an association with the BBC lasting over 50 years and involving well over 3,000 broadcasts. Reminiscing with Reg a couple of weeks ago, I asked him why he designed a larger Wurlitzer for the Tower Ballroom in 1934.
Well, in those days, it's difficult to imagine now, but with no amplification, with no sound system at all, no microphones. The ballroom, of course, the acoustics of the ballroom were good. They've always been very good indeed, but they were not sufficient. When you got a crowded ballroom floor, that organ, what was it, 10 ranks, was not sufficient without amplification. And then after that, I was moving around playing various organs, the one which is now at Thursford, and there's one in Northampton now, isn't there?
Yeah.
Those larger instruments, I was playing those for a week. I went to Leeds for a week, I went to Newcastle for a week, and I realised that there were bigger Wurlitzers that could be that would sound wonderful in the Tower Ballroom. Anyhow, we took the matter up. I took the matter up with the directors. And it was said to me, well, what's wrong with what we've got? It's good enough for us, isn't it? But I said, well, we want to, have an organ that they can hear. At the end of the ballroom, they're losing step because they can't hear it. However, we got major write-up from Wurlitzer's and we got down to it, and I worked out the specification, which is, I say modestly, it was my specification because it had to be used mainly for dancing, and I wanted those bright reeds and strings in order to bring out the rhythm for the dancers.
A typical Reg Dixon version of Boo Hoo, recorded, of course, at 78 RPM. Reg's output of music on wax is really quite amazing. His recording career began in 1932 on the Sterno label, before changing to Riedel Zonophone in February 1933, and by 1935 he was appearing on Decca's Rex label. By the outbreak of war, Reg had made round about 70 records, including some at various southern Wurlitzers during his popular winter tours of the Granada circuit. During the war, Reg's place at the Tower was taken by Ina Barger, but he always made guest appearances when he was on leave, and also broadcast a number of services calling programmes from the EMI Compton in their Abbey Road studios in London. Those early days at the Tower were certainly hectic ones for Reg, and I think at times he used to wonder whether it might not be a good idea to move his bed down to his dressing room.
But before the war, I was never home. I'd go there in the morning for morning dancing, then I'd play in the afternoon for a dance session, then they'd suddenly decide the organ would sound nice during the children's ballet.
Yeah.
So that was twice a day during the peak months. And then I'd do an interval later, after the ballet was finished, while they cleared the stage, and another interval. And then I'd do an interval with the late dance with the bands.
Yeah.
They used to send me lovely steak and chips, thinking I needed nourishment from the Tower restaurant, which was a restaurant in those days.
Yeah.
And
They kept you going anyway.
He kept me from fading away completely.
After the war, Reg returned to the Tower World, it's there to resume his broadcasting career in earnest. And amongst the many regular and popular series in which he appeared, Blackpool Night was always a great favourite. During the next few years, life was as hectic as ever for Reg, now at the peak of his popularity, and as much a part of Blackpool as the Tower itself. In the mid-50s came two very special highlights in Reg's career, which I know he'll never forget. In 1955, he had the honour of being presented to Her Majesty the Queen and Prince Philip after having played at a Royal Command performance in Blackpool Opera House. And a year later, the town awarded him their greatest accolade by inviting him to switch on the world-famous illuminations. There was also tragedy in December 1956, when a disastrous fire in the ballroom did considerably more damage to the organ than was first thought. For a few months, Reg continued his broadcasts from the Empress Ballroom before returning to the Tower, restored to its former glory, with a completely overhauled Wurlitzer and a brand new sparkling white console. It's impossible in a programme of this nature to do full justice to Reg's career, but mention must be made of the MBE which he received in 1966 for his services to the world of entertainment. His farewell concert at the Tower on Easter Sunday 1970 was a magical event which I, for one, will never forget. It was a marvellous sight to see the ballroom packed to the doors with 6,000 adoring fans, and although the atmosphere was tinged with sadness, happiness and nostalgia, Reg's music that night contained all the sparkle which, for 40 years, had brought so much happiness to so many people. Reg Dixon during his farewell concert at Blackpool in 1970. Now, as you might expect, that wonderful evening couldn't possibly have ended without a sing-song. Over the years, Reg became very proud of his choir of holidaymakers, which always used to raise the roof to round off his weekly programmes. And the last night was no exception.
Thank you.
And so came to an end one of the most fascinating careers in the history of not only the theatre organ, but the entertainment world in general. That final concert at the Tower certainly wasn't the end for Reg. For the next 10 years, he was as busy as ever with concert appearances all over the country and regular broadcasts from our BBC Playhouse studios here in Manchester. For the past few years, he's quite rightly started to take things easier. But Reg, as we wish you a very happy 80th birthday from all of us here on The Organist Entertains and from all your devoted fans, you can rest assured that we will never forget the one and only Mr. Blackpool, Reginald Dixon. I don't know.